words be true.
All right, how many's ready to let your words be changed? Are we changing our words? We're allowing the power of our words to take evident in our hearts. The series we started 2 weeks ago, this will be the third sermon in this series. We just, if you're new today, we just finished up a series called Changing Our Sound, as we're learning to change sound. And it has all to do with praise that's coming out of our hearts and how God dwells in our praises. When we change our sound, it changes our environment. It changes our atmosphere. And this series spun off into this series, which is a spinoff, which is the power of our words. So we're learning to speak life, not death. According to Scripture, it says that in the power of the tongue is what? Life and death. And so we're learning. This is one of those series that you can't check out of, okay? I don't care who you are today. If you can speak, you're operating already in one or two ways of the series. One or two principles. Either you're speaking life, or you're speaking death. You can't say, I'm not gonna believe this part. I'm not gonna operate this part of the series, Pastor, because I don't really know if I'm sure of that yet or not. Let me just tell you, you're already operating one way or the other. And so what we're trying to do is teach you and let revelation come to the power of your words. As we've been talking about the last few weeks, as we learn the value, the hidden value is like the lights going off. The more we learn about our iPhone 5, the more we realize we can control the world. At the palm of our hands, it's right there. It's the same thing. As we learn the power of our words, we're learning the hidden power that God had always ordained that we operate in, that either we're speaking life or we're speaking death. Now, today's message, I'll just tell you this. Today's message is going to be one of these ones where I hope you got your pencils ready, okay? I'm going to give you a lot of information today, and my hope is that you'll take this information, write it down, or use it in your phone or on your tablet or whatever you're taking notes on today, and go back this week and revisit that and pray about it, because I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, a lot of information. The first series we just did on learning to change your sound is about praise. And how many know you can't help but when you preach on praise, I get a little happy. You know, and the preacher comes out of me when I preach on praise. It's always exciting. And the next part of this series, we had three series actually going to go along with this. We're going to be talking about the worship part. I got praise, we got the words, and we got worship. Praise and worship, those are easy to preach, okay? Those are exciting to preach. But when it comes to our words, sometimes it becomes more instructional. And it becomes more about, all right, we're really learning to get some discipline, correction, the way that we're speaking. And so this is another one of those messages where we're going to bring some correction to our life. It's one thing to say, don't speak death. That's another thing to say, all right, this is how we speak death. And so today, I hope you're ready. I'm going to give you a top 10 list. Are you ready? The top 10 list is this. Top 10 ways we speak death according to what we see in Scripture. If you don't know you're doing it, then you can't stop. But when you have the revelation, the light come on to you, say, all right, this is what God's Word says about speaking death in our life, the things that are bringing unhealth, that are shooing away God's blessing in my life, the words that we speak, then you can begin to change things. So this is very much a discipling message. Someone gave me a compliment last week in our life group, said, Pastor, I appreciate the fact that you not only like to preach to us, but you also like to disciple us and teach us. And I was like, yes, amen. Someone's getting it, because they're realizing that it's not just about making you feel good, but sometimes we got to bring correction so that we can change and produce a different fruit in our life. Okay? If you don't know that by now, God wants to change you. He wants to change me. He's changing us, and sometimes we got to hear lessons like this today so we can learn to change some things in our life, therefore we can produce a new fruit, a new season that God has for us. So quickly, let's go to Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 3 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from God, our sin. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For you know, verse 3, look what it says. This is why this has happened. Verse 3 explains it. Why does he not hear? Because our hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your what? Your lips have spoken falsely. Your tongue mutters wicked things. So what we're seeing here in this principle that I want you to see is that what we speak affects our relationship with God. Now, I'm not talking about grace because I don't want you to ever feel like I'm taking you out of grace, okay? We're under grace as a Christian, and God's grace covers us more than we know. And if you know anything around here at Destiny Church, that we believe in the power of grace and that none of us are perfect. None of us got it together, and God's grace is covering us. But there's some things in our lives that when we produce, when we say, that it produces bad fruit in our life. And we're going to look at Old and New Testament and see what it talks about this and the power of our words. I'm going to give you some ways that we speak death. Number one, are you ready to take off? Let's go. Number one, lying. I know this is for nobody here, but maybe for my own life, that we've struggled before with lying in our life. Look at Proverbs 6:16 says, verses 16 through 19 says, these six things the Lord hates. As a matter of fact, as it lists seven things, it says six of them he really hates, but all seven of these things are an abomination to him. Abomination means he detests, okay? Not only does he hate some of these things, he detests all seven of these things, and he tells us what they are. God detests a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. So the seven things God detests, four of them have to do with our mouth. Are you understanding the power of our words? Are you understanding why we need to work on correcting and becoming more like the Father, more as the Holy Spirit leads our words to be correct these things? Why? Because the Father hates this about us when we allow these things. Four of these things have to do with our mouth and tongue. A lying tongue. A heart that devises wicked plans. This is out of the heart, the mouth speaks, the mouth speaks. So the heart and mouth are connected. The false witness who speaks lies, and the one who sows discord, disunity. All four of these things have to do with our mouth. Look what Proverbs 12:22 says. Lying lips, God detests. They're abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are in his delight. So why does God detest lying? Have you ever thought about that? Why does God really hate lying so bad? Because in our heart we say, lying really doesn't hurt anybody, it just hurts myself. Have you ever said that before? If I just tell this one lie, it's not hurting anybody, it's just hurting myself. Well, as we see in the Old and New Testament, it says God's very nature that he cannot lie. God's nature, if you don't know this, God's nature is this, that he cannot lie. And you and I are made in his image. And so therefore this, that when we operate in a lying spirit, we are going against the very nature of God himself. This is why God hates lying so much, because he cannot lie. It is the very polar opposite of who he is. So when we allow ourselves to operate in a lying spirit, we are going the polar opposite of who God is. This is why he detests it so much, because it's the very opposite of his nature. And he wants you and I to learn to reflect his nature. That when people see you, they see the Father. They see his grace in your life. And so he wants you to learn to walk in truth. He wants you to learn to speak truth. And he wants you to delight yourself as people of integrity where your word stands out for something. You want to lose credit and credibility with people and your family, your children, at your job? Operate with a lying spirit and see if you don't lose credibility. But on the other hand, if you want to learn to be elevated as a man of respect, a woman of respect in your community, in your family, in your job, be a person of integrity who follows through with their word and who doesn't allow themselves to operate in a lying spirit but speaks truth out of their mouth. Number two, let's go there. Number two, sowing discord. Sowing discord. We see this, look in Proverbs 6:12. Proverbs 6:12 through 14 says, a troublemaker and a villain. The word of God doesn't hold back here at all, does it? This says, hey, let's just say it like it is. You're a troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth. He who winks maliciously with his eyes, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil and deceit in what his heart, what is he doing? He sows discord, disunity. Look what happens to the person who sowed seeds of discord. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant, and he will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. What it's saying is this, that once you sow, you reap. One of the things that we've been talking about in our men's group over the last few weeks is taking responsibility for our own life, our own actions. And this is a very much true principle, is this, that what you sow, you will reap. What you sow, you will reap. He says, and Scripture says right here, if you will sow discord, disunity, disharmony, if you're sowing it with your mouth, in return, you're going to reap it to yourself. So the question is this, are you in your life have disunity in your life? Do you have disunity in your home? I wonder if it could be that we are reaping us sowing with our mouth, speaking disunity to others. It's a place in our own life. What are we sowing? We reap what we sow. Don't sow discord. Don't be a person who disunifies people, who speaks disharmony, but be a life speaker. The third thing here, I know that none of you really deal with before, but we'll go ahead and talk about it just in case somebody does. It's gossip, right? No one here struggles with gossip. Some of you are just ducking down just a little bit lower this morning. Sit back up. It's all right. Don't worry. Your husband didn't call me. I'm not going to call you out. Your wife didn't tell me who to call by name, so I'm not going to call you out today. But gossip. Look what I have here. Spreading intimate or private rumors or what? Or what? Or what? Let's all say it together. Or what? Facts. See, we think rumors are spreading things that aren't true. We think that gossip is spreading things that aren't true. But it also can be about spreading things that are true that is nobody else's business to know. Look what it says here in Proverbs 20:19. A gossip betrays confidence. So avoid anyone who what? Talks too much. That's what it says. It says, if you got a friend who's got a problem with gossiping, you need to avoid that person. Because why? Because they're sowing seeds of disunity and discord. I don't want that in my life. And let me take it a step further. If you have a friend who's a Christian and they are sowing seeds of gossip, you need to call them on it. I said, listen, I think what you're doing is really close to gossiping here. Matter of fact, I know it's gossiping. And we need to change this conversation. As a Christian, we need to change this. How about we just stop now and pray for that person instead of talking about all what's wrong with them? See if it doesn't change the atmosphere. We have a right to say, you know what? We got to stop the gossip. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:20. It says this. I forgot we didn't have it on this slide here, but it says the same thing. Backs up the same principle. It says this. It says that a gossip God hates, but he loves those who operate in truth. Operates in truth. How about this? That we stop doing it like this. Well, Pastor, I don't gossip. I just want to make sure everybody is praying for that person. That's how we do it in church. You know, before we got saved, we're like, let me tell you what happened to so-and-so. What's what they did? But after you get Christian, sometimes you're like, well, how about we pray for so-and-so? Did you hear what they did? And we think it's okay because we threw in the word prayer. Don't look at me that way. You know what I'm telling is truth. Some of us have gossip and we want to share that information. It's like a kid who gets change in his pocket or gets some money in his pocket. He's just burning to spend that money. Some of you get some information, you just can't wait to tell somebody. Ooh, let me tell you what I heard. Well, we got to fight against that and say, you know what? I can't be that person. Just because it's true doesn't give me the right to reveal it. Let me say again. Just because it's true doesn't give me the right to reveal it. Let me ask you this question. Would you want everything that's true about you, right or wrong, revealed to everybody in this room? None of us would, right? None of us wants everything revealed about us in this room. So how about, why would we reveal it to somebody else? No, as a Christian, I'm called to uplift my brother. I'm called to nurture my brother, to carry their burdens, to pray one for another, not to expose them. How about this? Number four, slander. He says, we sin with our mouth when we slander. A slander is a false or malicious statement or report about someone. A false or malicious statement or report about someone. We pass on reports about people that we hear secondhand all the time. We don't even know if it's true. And we start sharing it, and then someone else shares it, then someone else shares it, and somebody else shares it. And pretty soon, so-and-so, you know, well, can you pray for me? I got a little cough in my chest. And next thing you know, hey, you be praying for so-and-so. I heard they got the bad news. They got lung cancer, and they're dying tomorrow. I mean, it's a spread out. And we add a little to it, and you twist it around, and someone's calling, did you hear about so-and-so? Like, that's not true. He just went to the hospital because he had a cough, you know. Things get twisted around. Be careful what you're speaking. You know what slander is? Slander is this. Slander is when you say something false about somebody, report about somebody. It's malicious. And this is what we do today. You know, it used to be the day people would just say it with their mouth. Let me say that. That's really not the big point anymore. People, I don't believe, slander with their mouth as much as they used to. But you know, there's a pause there. Why? Because we slander with our fingers now. We go online and we're slandering everybody online nowadays. We can do it on social media and feel like it has no repercussion. All we got to do is push the share button. It wasn't me. I didn't say that. I just shared so-and-so's statement. Well, was their statement back with facts? Was it true? They said it was. They read the story on the internet. And we all know the internet's always true, right? It's always right. How many people have passed on stories, shared stories, and then later on, oh, sorry, that was a hoax. That wasn't true. See, we're quick. We're quick to do that, aren't we? We're quick to pass it on. We're quick to try to share information that isn't true without us really knowing. A slander is a person who slanders against somebody, smearing their name. Look what the Word of God says about it in Psalms 140, verse 11. May slanders not be what? Established in the land. May disasters hunt down the violent. Proverbs 10:18 says the same thing. Whoever hides hatred has what? Lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a what? A fool. Pretty hard words. But he's dealing with us. He's saying whoever spreads slander is a fool. We got to stop being slanderous people. Let's stop being the first one to say, man, I want to tell. I want to tell what I know. I want to share this bad news about so-and-so. Instead, let's be quick to nurture them, to pray for them, to pick them up. That's becoming the body of Christ. What would happen if a church said, you know what? We're going to refuse to be slander people. We're going to refuse to be gossip people. But instead, we're going to just go the opposite. We're going to be kind of people who protect each other, who lift each other up, who speak the good things of God over our life. We're at the halfway point. Number 5, talebearing. It's revealing secrets or breaking what? Confidence. Revealing secrets or breaking confidence. Proverbs 11:13 says it like this. A talebearer reveals secrets. So it defines it for us right there. But he who is faithful in spirit conceals what? Conceals a matter. What he's saying is that the immature reveal secrets that they know. The mature, the faithful, they conceal them. This has got to be where we're going. This has got to be where we're heading as a church. That when people come in to hear, that they realize this should be the safest place in town. This should be the safest place. The church should be the safest place for us to come in and admit our faults one to another. But the sad thing is this. That so many people have been burnt before, and oftentimes in church, by people they had revealed things to, and it got slandered. It got shared places that shouldn't have been shared. And then they say, you know what? I'm never going to share anything again. Then what happens? They don't get healed, because James says that we should confess our faults one to another. Why? So they may be what? Healed. He says, confess your faults one to another that you can be healed. We got a lot of people walking around unhealed through emotional stuff and things they need to be healed in, because they don't feel like they have anybody they can really confess their things to. They can confess their downfalls. That's why I love our life groups, because it allows this kind of nurturing to take place. And it should be that way. You better protect it. We would welcome all life group leaders and attenders, and we want you to come get plugged in the life group. But one way to be asked not to come back to a life group is you ever reveal a secret that's been shared in confidence in that group. And I stand by that very strongly because I want to protect the integrity of those groups, and I want people to come in and be healed. And they can only be healed when there's a safety net of saying, I can come in and confess. So, you know, Pastor preached about this, and I'm really struggling with that gossip thing, man. I need help. Well, you need to pray for so-and-so. They said they gossip about everybody. And next thing you know, it's turned into a prayer request. It's turned into gossip, and it's turned into slander. Well, I know they were the one that talked about my husband last month, and they were talking about this. Things happen and get stretched out of distortion, and people get hurt. No, we need to make this place a safe place. Now, I can tell you this. I love the attitude, because the things I'm preaching here, these aren't things that have been very predominant in our church, because you have carried a great attitude. Let's do this. Let's keep it that way, number one. Number two, let's elevate it to a higher level and say, not only are we going to keep it that way, but we're going to just do the opposite. We're going to learn to be lifters and speak life into people. And if someone shares a prayer request and confidence, I'm going to pray for them. I'm not going to go around and share it to everybody. And if there's something to share to you and you think a leader needs to know about it, then take that person and say, listen, hey, let's go talk to our pastors. Let's go talk to our leaders and get some more wisdom and get some more prayer. I think more people need to know about this. Take them with you. Don't just go behind their back and tell everybody you know. You received that word today so far? Are you receiving it? Say amen. This is good stuff. I know, right? We're talking about the thing that changes churches and destroys churches. I'm talking about the thing that will change your life, destroy your life, or speak blessing into your life. We're going to learn to be life speakers here at Destiny Church. We got to create an atmosphere of safety where people can say it's all right to say, I don't have it all together. I need help in an area. And what we're trying to do at Destiny is create a place where you can come in and say, you know what? Man, I haven't had a good week. I haven't had a good week. I failed. And we do that exactly there. That's okay. You get up. You can make it. We're not going to destroy you. We're not going to beat you down, but we're going to pick you up. We're going to carry you until you can walk again and say, run. Run, Forrest, run. We're going to be live speakers. We're not going to go around telling everybody about it and tearing each other down with our words. People are going to walk in here and know there's something different about the atmosphere that's being created in worship and in praise in God's word, but also out of the power of the words coming out of our mouth. We're going to speak life. We're going to reject slanders. We're going to reject gossip. And we're going to be life speakers. Number six we see here is this, is cursing. Why would we want to curse anything? Look at Romans 3:13 says, their throats are open to graves. Their tongue practices deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of what? Cursing and bitterness. Psalms 109, verse 17 says, he loved to pronounce a curse. He who loved to pronounce a curse, may it come back onto him. He found no pleasure in the blessing. May it be far from him. What he's saying is this, okay? Those who curse things with your mouth, you're sowing cursing, you're going to reap cursing. Not only are you reaping cursing, but you're shunning away the blessing. Scriptures teaches us, and our power of our words is this, is that cursing and blessing are like water and oil. They don't mix. They can't mix at the same time. So it's important that we realize that blessing and cursing cannot mix. Are you getting this? Blessing and cursing cannot mix. How many want to walk in the blessing? Anybody here want to walk in the blessing? So how do I begin to set myself up to walk in the blessing, all the blessing God has for me? First of all, I got to reject the cursing that comes out of my mouth. One of the curse words that we find in Scripture that we repeat a lot in society today, I don't mean to be offensive to anybody, but it's the word damn it. You know, and why would we want to damn anything? Why would I want to speak cursing over my job, my boss, my marriage, my spouse, my family? Why would I want my finances? Why would I want to curse anything? No, I want to learn to speak life. I want to speak life. I want to speak life. Quit cursing. Quit cursing the things God's given you. Quit cursing the only car you got. Speak life until God gives you a new one. Or until you can qualify for that next loan. Whatever it be the case. Speak life on the things God's given you. Speak life. Quit cursing everything you have. Well, it's not what I want. And it didn't turn out the way I wanted. And we're damning this. And we're cursing this. Stop it. Stop it. No, speak life. Open up the door for blessing that God has for your life. Number 7, blasphemy. He talks about how we sin with blasphemy out of our mouth. That means to use God's name in an unsacred or self-serving way. Exodus 27. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. He's saying this person is not guilty. There's consequences that come with taking the Lord's name in vain. How do we take the Lord's name in vain? I think there's two ways. Number one, we use God's name as a curse word. We're instructed not to do that. And let me just give this to you. I want to make sure I'm discipling you right. So write this down. If you're a new Christian, old Christian or not a Christian, I want you to write this down, okay? Write down this. God's last name. Many of you have been wondering. Let me reveal it to you now. God's last name is not damn it. Okay? And that's God's word should never come out of your mouth. We should never use God's name in vain. And let me say this to you. I was raised with a very diverse culture, okay? I went to a very big high school. I played a lot of sports, and so I heard a lot of rough language growing up. A lot of things. And I'm pretty immune to it. Just tell you the truth, I'm pretty immune to it. It doesn't usually bother me. You can sit there and cuss me out in my face, I'd probably laugh at you. It doesn't bother me, you know? I have some people who really get mad at me as a pastor, and they really would think they can just really ruffle my feathers and start cussing at me. And I just look at them and laugh like, wow, I never heard that word before. Woo! That hurts, you know? And I just laugh because, you think I was raised and, you know, as a monk and never heard any bad words in my life, you know? It's like they're trying to shock me, you know? Look how cool I am, Pastor. I'll cuss in your presence. I'm like, woo, you're a big boy. All right. But one thing that will really get me irritated, and it should irritate you, is when you hear the Lord's name being used in vain. If we get to the place where we're comfortable hearing the Lord's name in vain, there's something wrong. That should ruffle your feathers. That should irritate you. And I know no one's made you the word police, okay? I'm not telling you to go out and tell everybody they're wrong. But if you have someone who's constantly using the Lord's name in vain, how about you I just gave you a weapon right there. Turn around and say, you know what? Let me just tell you, that's not God's last name. Matter of fact, that is my God, and I just would appreciate it if you wouldn't use that particular word around me. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was doing that, and people will change. I learned this lesson from my father, even as a young kid, that one time he was out in public, and we were at a bowling alley, and we were there bowling, it was a family night out, having some fun, and all of a sudden a group of guys came up and started bowling, about 4 or 5 of them, and they had obviously been drinking a little bit, getting kind of wild and crazy, and all of a sudden they just start throwing it out there. You know, GD this, GD that, and everything's getting cussed. And I can see my dad, who's only about 5'8", small guy, much smaller than I am, getting red and red. I can just see the steam coming out of his ears. And I was like, oh, my God, what's going to happen here, Dad? And I can see it. And all of a sudden, he's just like, I can't take it anymore. If they say it one more time, I'm going to have to say something. Sure enough, one of them lets it fly. And my dad goes, hallelujah! I'm like, Dad, I'll go to the bathroom, okay? And I'll sit back here. And every time they would use the Lord's name in vain, he would say, praise the Lord. He would start singing a song to the Lord. And he was like, I'm not going to let these guys out praise my God. I'm going to praise my God. They're going to take it in vain. And I'm just going to say it publicly. I love the Lord. And then pretty soon they're like, hey, we better quit using these words here. I think we got a preacher over here or something. Why don't something's going on? I'm sorry. I didn't see you and your family over here. You know, but. You know, as a kid, it kind of embarrassed me, to tell you the truth, but now I so much appreciate it. Now I understand the principle that he was trying to say, that son, don't ever let someone take the name of your Lord in vain. Don't ever let yourself be pushed that far. You know, you can put up with a lot, but at some point, you got to draw the line. And it should bother you when people take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't do it. Don't blaspheme. And as a Christian, we should not let those words come out of our mouth. Don't use God's name in vain, and also don't use God's name to be self-serving. What I mean is this. We should never say, well, God told me this just to get my own way. Come on, church. You know we're good at this as Christians. We've learned how to manipulate people. Well, God told me that I need to do this or you need to do this for me. Was it really God, or are you just trying to get your way and thinking if I throw out the God card that you have to say yes? I mean, how do you argue with that? God didn't tell you. I want to say, God told you to get a job. That's what he told you to do. God told you to get a job. God told me, Pastor, you're going to give me. God told you to get a job. That's what God told you to do. I'm just telling you the truth. Sometimes we have people come in and try to manipulate and try to use things to get their way. Don't do that. Don't. Well, God told me. I see some Bible college all the time. You know, God told me you're the wife for me. Hallelujah. We're supposed to go out tonight. And those ladies, like, girls, like, God ain't spoke to me nothing, boy. Get back. God told me we need some time apart. We just need to spend. No, just tell the truth. You don't can't stand the person you want to break up with. Just tell them. What I'm saying is this: don't be just throwing out God's name with everything we want to use for an excuse. Okay? Because God does speak to us, and I want you to be God led. I want you to be Spirit led. But don't abuse that. Make sure when you speak it out, if you do it right, people will know something's going on. God must have really spoken to them. They don't say it all the time. So when they do, people pay attention. But the person who always says every day, God told me to go to Walmart and get some milk today. And God told me to go here and to buy a Charmin instead of buying the generic. And God told me to go. And everything God told me, you're like, what did God really tell you? You know? You ever been there? Okay? That's what I'm talking about. So don't use it to the point where it loses its validity, and also don't use it to the point where we're using it to manipulate to get what we want. Use it in the correct way. Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. Say, I'm with you, Pastor. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you. He's not preaching to me. Number 8, we're getting there. I'm not going to spend long on this one, but it's pretty self-explanatory. Filthy language. Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are put off by these things. We should be had these things away from us. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and what else? Filthy language out of our mouth. As a Christian, I should not allow filthy language, even when it's just the guys at work huddled in the corner that came out of my mouth. All right. I don't think I need to explain that, but we all know where we're at. Number 9, contentious speech. Contentious speech. We define this as hurtful speech, hateful speech, malicious, but also disagreeable and argumentative. Now, we should not allow these things to come out of our mouth according to God's word. Look what it says about women in Proverbs 21:9. Better to dwell in the corner of your attic than in the house shared with a contentious woman. All the husbands are smiling, but don't smile too long because the next verse is for you guys. Proverbs 26:21. As charcoal is burning coals and wood to the fire, so is what? A contentious man to kindle a strife. He says we should not be contentious in our speech. And that's hurtful, malicious. And I can tell you that was easy for me, all right? I can do that. I was hurtful, hateful, malicious. I was able to curb that pretty fast. But these last 2 points about not being disagreeable or argumentative, I've been slow to learn this one. And I gotta tell you, this is probably one of the ones that took me the longest. Maybe if my wife's telling the truth, still working on today. See? She said amen. After last week, I'll give her that grace because I picked on her last week. But I can tell you, I can struggle with this. Always feel like you gotta have the last word in. Anybody feel like that? You always feel like you gotta have the last word in. You always gotta be right. You always wanna argue your point. No matter what, that's contentious in speech. You've always got to argue your point. You've always got to be right. You've always got to get the last word. And I know I struggle with this, and I really can go back and I can trace it back. The light really came on for me in first grade. My first grade teacher said, Mr. Beebe, if I hear another word out of your mouth, you're going to come up here in the front of the classroom. And I went like this. And I bit my tongue, but I couldn't help it. I went, word. Told me not to say another word, and I had to say word just to prove a point. And of course, I found myself in front of the classroom holding 2 pop bottles like this. I've had a problem with my mouth. I don't know if you have a hard time believing that. I always feel like I got to be the last word and always got to be right. Let me tell you, one of the things I'm learning as I'm maturing is this, and I'm still learning, is that I don't always have to have the answer. Don't feel like you always have to prove your point. You know what? You got a rough story, but my story is rougher than yours. You got a good blessing, but my blessing's better than yours. Even if it's true, sometimes just learn to cry with those who are crying. Sometimes just learn to celebrate with those who are celebrating. What I've stopped doing is always telling my story, instead following up what I'm hearing with a question. When someone tells me why they're struggling, instead of telling them, well, this is how you fix it, I'll say, well, just tell me, why do you think you're struggling with that? And they open up. Oh, I don't know. Let me talk about it. And they open up and they share more, and a lot more is being done. A lot more productivity is coming out of that than me feeling like I've always got to share and tell why I did this and prove my point. Don't be so contentious in our speech. Let's learn to be slow to speak. Slow to speak. And the last thing here I want to give you is number 10, unbelief. Unbelief. We have unbelief in our speak. It's what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. One more time. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Scripture, we've been looking at this all 3 weeks. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. The fruit of the heart, the tree of the heart, produces fruit of the mouth. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. And when unbelief is in our heart, it comes out of our mouth. Hebrews 3:12 backs us up. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has sinful, unbelieving hearts that turn away from the living God. But instead, it's the opposite. It says, but encourage one another daily. I mean, what kind of atmosphere would change at your home, in your work, if we would stop being complainers, stop being people who walk around with unbelief, negative reports, and say, I'm going to learn to be an encourager daily. You know what's going to happen? People are going to want to gravitate towards you. They will gravitate towards you. I want to hang around that person. Well, I don't have any friends, Pastor. No one likes me. No one wants to hang out with me. Learn to be an encourager. All you do is be negative all the time, and nobody wants to be around you. Let me tell you like it is. Learn to be an encourager, and people will gravitate towards you. Learn to speak life, and people will say, I want to be around this person. They just make me feel good about myself. They always see the glass half full, not half empty. They always have a positive thing. I need that word. Everybody else is speaking negative. I want to be around people who speak positive, who encourage me. What kind of difference could we make in our job, our society? What kind of witness will we become if we would learn just to be encouragers at our school, at our job, in our families? This isn't rocket science. We're praying for revival. No, praise your mouth changes so that God can be impacted in your society. Are you hearing me? It's our mouth. It's what's stopping the hand of God. It's my words that are stopping the hand of God. He says, get your mouth back into alignment last week. Get her mouth back into alignment and everything else will get back in line. How about we say we're going to become encouragers? Remember the 12 spies that were sent out to spy out the promised land. 10 of them come back with a negative report. They're like, man, there's giants there. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way. They'll kill us. Have you ever wondered why God put giants in the land of the promise for his children? Goliath's descendants were there. I believe, number one, he wanted them to have a God-given moment where they defeat their giant and build their faith. But number two, think about all the king-sized beds and all the vaulted ceilings that were already there waiting for him. I mean, they had the best of the best. Are you getting what I'm talking about today? Learning to see through positive reports. See, it was Joshua and Caleb, the two that came back and said, oh, yeah. We see the giants. But we know this, we see the giants, we see the mountain, but we see the mountain mover instead. I know the giants are there, but my God is even bigger than my giant. See, faith doesn't deny the facts. Faith just says, I see the facts, but I see the one in control of the facts. That's faith. Unbelief says, all I see is the negative. All I see is the negative. All I see is the negative. That's unbelief. But belief says, oh, I see the negative, but God's going to turn that around and put positive.
at seeing what God wants to do. I want us to be people who speak positive things, not denying the truth. We're not closing our eyes to the truth or to the facts, but we simply say, yeah, I see the facts. Now, let's put our attention to our God, and let's proclaim the good things of our God, what he has to say about me in my life. It's learning to defeat the death tongue. Now, this week, I want you to know, I know that there's a lot of things I gave you here today, a lot of things. And nobody in this room has got all these things mastered. Myself, you, every one of us has some areas on this list that we need to work on. Anyone want to raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor, I got some areas I need to work on? Okay, I'm the first one. So this would almost be overwhelming when you think about it. Boy, how do I change all 10 of those areas? And let me give it to you this way. Some of you, you've already done good on some of these areas. Some other areas you're weak in, and you're seeing it today, even as the Holy Spirit's revealing it to you as I bring it to your attention. That's what I want you to do. I want you to write down just two or three of these things that the Holy Spirit is really bringing to the forefront and say, all right, over this next week, I want to learn to put these two or three things to concentrate on doing better on these two or three things. I want to learn to stop speaking this over my life, and I want to, in return, I want to do the opposite. I want to learn to speak life. I want to quit cursing. I want to speak life. I want to quit speaking unbelief. I want to speak life. I want to quit being quick to gossip, and I want to speak life. Just take one or two things, maybe three at the most, and say, I'm going to learn to concentrate on these areas and pray that God will help me to grow. And as you grow, then you say, all right, now I'm going to take one more and bring another one in and concentrate on that one. It's a season. It's going to take you a while to get there. It takes us a while to get there. It's a journey. Nobody's going to get there overnight. So when you fail tomorrow and you think, oh, man, I blew it already. It's only been one day and I've already cursed at my car salesman this week. You know, say, God, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. You bring that to my attention. I need to work on that in my life. And let's grow. Let's be encouragers. Let's be life speakers. And let's say, you know what? We're going to change the climate. This is going to be a safe place right here. Destiny Church is going to be a safe place where people come in and admit their faults one to another. We're not going to gossip. But we're going to be people who protect people's lives. We're going to pray one for another. And we can what? Be healed and walk in life. Today, if you want to agree with this word, let's stand up on our feet this morning and say, Pastor, I want to come down to the front and join me here at the front and say, I'm going to learn to give my life, my mouth, starting with my mouth. I want to give my mouth away. I want to give my life away to the rule of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want God to change the things that are coming out of my mouth. And I want to learn to be a life speaker. I want to learn to be an encourager. I'm not going to speak things of death and things of destruction, things that are malice. I'm going to quit being so disagreeable and so arrogant at times. I'm going to quit feeling like I got to have the last word in and learn to be a good listener, a good, better friend. I want to quit cursing the things that I don't like and start speaking life. Make room. Come into the front, guys. Scoot in a little bit. Make room for those coming in. We're singing a simple song, but make it the prayer of your heart today. It says, I give myself away.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Only you.
Are you going to be live speakers? Today, if you're going to be live speakers, say, I'm going to be a live speaker. Come on, put your hands together and say, God, I'm going to be a live speaker. I come into agreement with that word. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to speak life. We're changing. We're growing. And God is stretching us. Sometimes it's a little painful, but it's a part of the growing pains. But it's so worth it. So worth it. Don't give up. Keep growing. Keep saying, God, I want to grow my relationship with you. Two things. I want you to turn and give someone a big hug or a big high five. Say, man, it was good to be with you today. And number two, if you can help us stack up the chairs, the stacks about six or seven,
We're going to take those out of here today. So just stack up each row if you could today. Appreciate it.